Today, the U.S. Senate begins debating changes to consumer bankruptcy laws. Or to be precise, the Senate begins its latest debate. Business groups started trying 8 years ago to put new restrictions on bankruptcy filings by consumers. The number of filings at that time was soaring. More recently, they've declined, but the plan remains a Republican priority. Here's NPR's David Wellner.
Harriet Schwartz is the single mother of a teenager in suburban Los Angeles who had not gotten a raise in 4 years at her office job.
And, you know, everything else was going up, but not my salary. So it just snowballed, and I started using the credit cards where I shouldn't. And one thing led to another, let's put it that way.
So 2 years ago, after running up more than $25,000 in debts on her three credit cards, Schwartz filed for bankruptcy.
I felt a huge sense of relief when I was able to say, okay, I don't owe that money anymore. I know that I still have a long road to hoe because, you know, 7 years of having that on my record is not a good thing, but to this day, I still feel better about not owing them money. And frankly, I don't want any more credit cards. I'm done with credit cards.
Schwartz filed for bankruptcy protection under Chapter 7, which wiped out all her debts, and the credit card companies got nothing. But under the bill being taken up by the full Senate today, Schwartz could only file for Chapter 7 bankruptcy if she passed a means test, proving she makes less than the median income in California. She would also have to seek credit counseling. The bill does not include any restraint on the aggressive credit card marketing that's led to the average American household having close to a dozen credit cards and revolving consumer debt rising tenfold over the past two decades. At the Senate Judiciary Committee's one and only hearing on the latest version of the bankruptcy bill earlier this month, Vermont Democrat Patrick Leahy said the credit card solicitations being sent out, $5 billion a year, or 50 to every household, have contributed to the sharp rise in consumer debt.
It doesn't give me a huge amount of confidence as a senator when I have a neighbor whose dog gets a credit card with a line of credit already on it.
Opponents of the bankruptcy bill say its chief beneficiary is the credit card industry, but not one of the eight witnesses who testified at the recent hearing on the bill represented the credit card companies. Illinois Democrat Richard Durbin pointed out that conspicuous absence to the crowd in the large hearing room.
Where is the credit card industry? I'll bet you're in the back rows. Don't hold up your hands, but you're not at the table. And yet you are the big player and the big push behind this bill for a decade. 10 years you've been begging for this bill to preserve credit card debt through bankruptcy. And yet you won't come up and testify?
Instead, it was a George Mason University law professor named Todd Zwicky who argued the case for adopting the bankruptcy bill. Zwicky reminded senators that more than 1.5 million people filed for bankruptcy in the U.S. in the last year.
Record numbers of Americans are not filing bankruptcy because they have to. Many Americans are filing bankruptcy because we have a bankruptcy system that is out of control. We have a system riddled with fraud and abuse.
Though personal bankruptcies did decline last year, there's still broad support for the bankruptcy bill among the Republican majorities in both the House and Senate. There are also some Democrats who insist this is not a bill drawn up for the credit card companies.
We have to find new boogeymen. The one people aren't going to benefit under this are the credit card companies.
Democratic Senator Joseph Biden represents Delaware, the home of some of the biggest credit card firms. At the hearing on the bankruptcy bill, Biden challenged one of the witnesses, Harvard Law School professor Elizabeth Warren, to explain why creditors should be left with the debts of those who declared bankruptcy. Warren replied that credit card companies, which have seen their profits soar, simply raise the interest rates on the money people already owe them to cover their losses.
A woman who borrowed $2,200, the credit she paid back $2,100 over the 2 years preceding bankruptcy, and at the end of that period of time, she was told she still owed $2,600. With fees and interest, I submit, Senator, that there are many in the credit industry right now who are getting their bankruptcies prepaid. That is, they have squeezed enough out of these families in interest and fees and payments that never paid down.
Maybe we should talk about usury rates then. Maybe that's what we should be talking about, not bankruptcy.
I'll be the first. Invite me.
No, I know you will, but let's call a spade a spade. Your problem with the credit card companies is usury rates from your position. It's not about the bankruptcy bill.
But, Senator, if you're not going to fix that problem, you can't take away the last shred of protection for
these
families.
I got it. Okay. You're very good, Professor.
The Judiciary Committee ended up endorsing the bankruptcy bill a week later. That same day, Ed Yingling, who heads the American Bankers Association's Government Relations Office, spoke with NPR on behalf of the credit card industry about the pending legislation.
We think, yes, it's somewhat in our self-interest, but it's in the interest of the economy and consumers as a whole that these abuses be stopped.
Yingling says he expects the credit card industry to recover more of its money when and if the bankruptcy bill is enacted. That's because more people will be barred through a means test from liquidating their debts through Chapter 7 bankruptcy. Instead, they'll have to file for bankruptcy under the more restrictive Chapter 13, which does not automatically wipe out credit card debt. Travis Plunkett of the Consumers Federation of America says declaring bankruptcy is supposed to help people get a fresh start, but that's often not possible when people file under Chapter 13.
The supporters of this bill say, hey, too many people are clearing their credit card debts in Chapter 7. They should be paying those debts and other debts off in Chapter 13. What they're not telling you is that two-thirds of all people in Chapter 13 right now can't pay off, can't successfully finish their repayment plan.
Last summer, Joy Benson of Independence, Missouri, filed for bankruptcy under Chapter 13. She did so after her husband became ill with Alzheimer's disease, and she fell behind in mortgage payments on their house and accumulated $20,000 in credit card debt. Now she says she struggles working two jobs, 65 hours a week, to repay her debts.
I mean, I have house payments, I have utilities, I have groceries, I have insurance, and there's not enough money. I told the lady from social services that I couldn't survive. She said, well, maybe you could get another job. And as I told her, I said, lady, I'm 67 years old. I have two heart stents, a kidney stent, and I'm a diabetic. Who do you think is going to hire me?
Benson says she's too stubborn to lose her house, so she'll keep trying to make payments under Chapter 13 for the next 3 years. After that, she'll be discharged of her credit card debt. But under the bankruptcy bill, she'd likely have to keep trying to repay debts for 5 years rather than three. So too would many others. The credit card industry, meanwhile, has no plans to scale back its mailings offering easy credit. David Wilma, NPR News.